Welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our CPR series looks at certain topics that come up in life, and we attempt to discuss them in a way that relates to everyone. At times, we bring in the arguments of those opposed to the Word of God in order to practice contending for the faith that God gave His church. It is our prayer that you will be equipped to give a defense for the truths of the Christian faith with humility and respect. Glad to have you joining us today for our Burden and Blessing podcast. Today we're going to be taking up a CPR series dealing with Christian parenting. We will be taking a look at both some good examples as well as some bad examples in Scripture itself that we might be able to learn a little bit from those examples and then follow the direction that the Lord gives to us as Christian parents in raising our children. Joining me to go through this particular lesson today is Pastor Ben Libby. Ben, this was sort of motivated by our podcast a couple of weeks ago on 1 Samuel when we considered some of the poor examples in that particular set of books. But we're going to be taking a look at some good examples along the way as well. As we consider Christian parenting, there are a couple of passages in Scripture that lay out a pretty important foundation for us as far as what our roles as parents are. Do you want to highlight maybe some of the examples that we have or maybe passages that would lay sort of a foundation for us? I'm thinking of, for example, Ephesians 6, verse 4, which speaks about fathers and mm-hmm. the role that fathers play. Do you want to highlight some of those passages and kind of get us started in this?
Well, sure. I think, like you mentioned there, Nathaniel, we were reading through 1st and 2nd Samuel, and we saw a lot of examples of bad children. A lot of it resulted because of bad parents. And with some of the cases, it's not like they had bad kids because these parents were ungodly, but rather the parents kind of, they neglected their parenting duties, even though they were obedient to the Lord. They forgot about being a parent that they needed to be to their children. I think, you know, when talking about just Bible passages that kind of lay out why and what we should do when we're parents, I think even back to just, you know, the fourth commandment. That is a commandment that is it's telling children to obey their parents. But as a parent, then you need to know that, okay, this is a God has put me over, you know, these individuals, my children, and thus I need to represent Him on a level. So you need to train up your child as God would want you to do in the fear and the wisdom of the Lord, and that's a very serious charge, you know, Nathaniel, because we're sinners and we don't do what God does and we don't do what God tells us to do very often. But at the same time, you know, because of we can train our children up in the way of the Lord, you know, because of what Jesus has done for us. And it's not easy, you know, it's a job and you're gonna have to stick with it. But I mean, I've only been a parent for 3 years. You've been a parent for much longer, so you know a lot more about this than I do. But yeah, it's a very serious thing to not just be a good Christian, but be a good parent as well.
I appreciate that you started with the first commandment, and it's actually the first commandment that deals with our relationship to our neighbor too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the second first commandment of the second table. Yep.
Yeah, and the first commandment with promise, as the Bible tells us. When I have taught the commandments, especially the second table of the law, a lot of times when you hear the fourth commandment, you think only of a responsibility of a child toward their parent. But built into that commandment, really, there's another side to that too, isn't there? And that is the responsibility that the parent has toward the child. And it doesn't come out specifically in the commandment, but as we study the Scripture as a whole, we find all of these passages that relate to the fourth commandment that show, hey, parents, you can't just use the fourth commandment and tell your children, you need to obey me, you need to listen to me because God gave you to me and that's your responsibility. We need to realize as parents, God has also given us a responsibility toward that child, hasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a, like you said, that's a very, very serious responsibility. In fact, of all of the responsibilities that God has given, this is one of the most important responsibilities of all. This is, I like to describe it as, God has given us one thing in this life that we can take with us into eternity, and that's our children. When you start to think about it from that perspective, it really causes us to realize what is most important. It's not our job. You know, it's not our car. It's not our house. It's our children. And we don't often think about it from that perspective, do we, as parents?
No. And you know, another point I'd bring up there too, Nathaniel, is, you know, you can train a child up, you know, the best way that you can. And that's not necessarily going to, you know, that does not necessarily mean that your child is going to have faith. You can, but as a parent, you know, we are charged by God to give all the tools we can possibly give to support our child in the faith. Because, yeah, as you said, what really else is there, you know, like that is one of the main jobs we have as if you are a parent, then that's one of your main jobs as a parent, is to make sure that you teach your children about God and you give them a good example to follow, you know, about worshiping God. Because yeah, it's the thing, the only thing that matters, right? Is it's our faith. But then, hey, as a parent, you love your children. So don't you want to give them eternal life? And they have that through what Jesus did for them, but you need to teach them about it. And you need, and you know, just walking through this life, it's just we're just filled with so many negative things. But if you give your child that basic, you know, fundamental Christian doctrine to fall back on, then there's nothing that's gonna be too hard in this life for them to overcome. And that God-given faith that Jesus provides us through the Spirit, that's theirs as well. And you know, what better gift could you give anyone, let alone your flesh and blood?
Yeah, in essence, you're giving them the tools that they need not only to survive in this life, but more importantly to get into eternal life, trusting mm-hmm. in Christ as their Savior. And by giving them those tools, there's no guarantee that they're going to make use of those tools.
Right.
And you made that point very well. You know, but the better they're equipped, the more that they are exposed to the truth of God's Word, the more the Holy Spirit is working in their lives, the better chance they're going to have both in this life and in laying hold of the gift that Christ has won for them in eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back now and let's talk about a couple of those poor examples from the Old Testament. So it starts probably with Eli. We have the example of Eli and his sons, not a good example. Then you have Samuel and his sons. You want to just briefly talk a little bit about what we know of, number one, what we know of Eli, what kind of a person he was, and what do we know about his sons, and what can we learn from that account?
Sure. So that's kind of what, you know, I think really provoked this topic that we got to talking about, Nathaniel, is there's lots of examples in Samuel of bad parenting, but Eli was a good, God-fearing man. He was a servant of the Lord, and that's kind of a strange juxtaposition that you would have this godly, upright man, you know, who taught Samuel everything basically, and yet at the same time his own sons didn't listen to him. His own sons were doing things that were terrible. And, you know, actually his own sons took up the family business as well. They, too, were quote-unquote priests, but they were doing things very wrong. They were conducting the proper sacrifice methods. They were kind of skimming off the top of people's offerings. And then they were actually, you know, they were performing sexual acts in the, you know, on the job. Like they were doing very corrupt things that no man of God should ever do. And Eli, you know, he tries to warn them because he keeps hearing all these things about them, and he says to them, "Why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people." But they don't listen to him. They don't listen to Eli. They keep doing what they're doing. And it's kind of like, so I think in that case, it's kind of, you need to kind of put your money where your mouth is there, I think, for Eli, because he kept telling them that what you're doing is wrong, but he didn't punish them, you know? Maybe if he would have actually said, like, been more, like, instead of just saying, guys, stop doing this, this is wrong, if he actually would have had some consequences perhaps earlier on in their life, then they would not have gotten this far, you know, corrupt. So I think that it's just a good example of, you can do everything right, you know, you can be a good, God-fearing person, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to, you know, make all the good parenting advice or the parenting decisions that you need to. So you need to go to the Lord and you need to, you know, make sure that you're doing your parenting job as well as your other jobs in life.
So it sure seems like from the account of Eli that some other biblical passages that we have in Scripture would apply in this particular case, and that has to do with Christian godly discipline of our children. You know, you pointed out how Eli talked to his sons when they were older about the fact that they were doing things that they weren't supposed to be doing. They were bringing in these heathen practices regarding, you know, cult prostitution and things like that, sort of incorporating that into the religion of Israel. But it seems like Eli really didn't practice good godly discipline of his sons when they were young. Does that seem like that's an accurate statement from what we see in Samuel?
I would say so. I mean, we don't have their upbringing described in Scripture. We don't have their youth, but you could see how they got from where they, you know, from being born into this godly man's house to where they were. And if there was no discipline, then you could understand why it got to be like that. And, you know, discipline's a very hard thing about being a parent, I'd say, right? Because basically what you're doing is you are punishing your own children, and it hurts. You know, it's not something that comes easy to us who love our children. If it does come easy to you, you know, if you enjoy it, then you might need to take a step back too. But I think that it's very important to discipline your children, because it's life lessons. And if you just scold them, if you just say don't do that, and you say you shouldn't be doing that, and then they do it anyways because they're sinful, well, then they're not really learning anything. They need to learn that there's consequences to their sin, because there certainly are. And when they go against what you tell them as their parent, then they're disobeying the fourth commandment. It's very hard to discipline our kids, isn't it, Nathaniel?
Absolutely. Discipline is extremely difficult, and I think one of the other things that makes it a challenge is that each child is different, and so that one form of discipline might be very effective for one child but not for another. So with my seven children, over the years as they grew up, I learned that fairly quickly, that one thing would work really well with one of the children, and it didn't work at all with the next. And you had to find a different way to approach that child in order to help them to learn that what they did was wrong, and that there was a consequence for that bad decision or that action. And I'm sure that even with your children, you probably, as at the age that they are, you're starting to see that to some degree also, that there are certain forms that are maybe effective with one but not with another.
Mm-hmm. I mean, one of my sons is not even a year old, so he doesn't really know much discipline, but the other son is three, and he knows it, and he knows when he's being naughty, and he knows what naughtiness equals, which is, you know, it's hard, but you need to do it, because I think it's really important, and it's a biblical principle too, Nathaniel, that discipline is love. Right? And it's something that we're called to do as parents. I think of Proverbs 13, whoever spares the rod hates the son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. If you just let your kids do what they want to do, well, they're not going to do the right thing. And it's kind of how God treats us too, right? Because we're sinful children. We do all kinds of bad things, and God tells us not to. But, you know, we don't learn. But God says, hey, there's consequences here. And you know, when we do sin, sometimes there are consequences that do grieve us. But God is always forgiving. He's always merciful. And we too, as parents, you know, after we discipline our kids, we should take the time to explain to them why they got disciplined, what was the purpose, why it was what they were doing was inappropriate, and that we still love them and we forgive them, and go and sin no more, basically. You know, that's why being a parent is such an important thing, because it's truly a God-given position.
You know, you were talking a little bit about discipline there, and I couldn't help – we're going to jump ahead just a little bit here, but okay. I couldn't help but think about another example from Samuel, and that was with David and one of his sons in particular. Now, David had a variety of children, obviously a lot of different children, and some turned out better than others. But one of the examples that we've talked a little bit about is the example of Absalom. And I think Absalom is another one of those examples. David loved Absalom. And you pointed out earlier the example of you don't want to go so far to the extreme of you love to discipline your children. You know, or maybe you just get angry and you take it out on that child.
Yeah.
There's certainly a danger there. And if you're at that situation, you want to back off and say, you know what, I cannot do this. I can't do this now. I'm going to calm down. I want to do this so that my child understands that I am disciplining them in love. There's one extreme. The other extreme is the one that you were just now talking about, and that's not doing anything at all and thinking that that shows love. And I think we kind of see that example with David and Absalom, don't we? Mm-hmm. That David almost refused to do any discipline with Absalom, and look at how that turned out. And we have those examples even in his adulthood, just like with Eli and his sons, that he refused to step in and say, there's a consequence for this bad action. And instead of just saying, why are you doing these things? Eli and David both should have stepped in and said, there's a consequence to your actions here. Talk a little bit about that.
So, the thing with Absalom is that really bore, you know, David's bad parenting there really was to the detriment of all of Israel, right? Because Absalom thought that his dad was this, you know, kind of worthless old guy who wasn't the king of action. So Absalom kind of schemed to tear the whole country apart from his father. He sat at the gates of the palace, and when people were going, you know, to see David to talk to him about, you know, matters of national importance, Absalom would say, oh, you know, he's probably not going to really give you the time of the day, but, you know, if I was king, I would do that, and I would treat you very important. And so that's kind of that whole sinful attitude of Absalom thinking, I can do a better job at this than my father, which, you know, maybe Absalom was gifted in some ways, but it didn't matter because he did not fear the Lord. He went about it the wrong way, and he did some terrible, terrible things. David had to run away. It got so bad with, like, the rebellion of Absalom that David had to flee from his own son because his own son wanted to kill him, and he still – you know, David still did not – he couldn't even though Absalom was in open rebellion, David couldn't have the courage to even, you know, attack him in battle because that's his son. So, yeah, like you see those two points you brought up, Nathaniel, is he loved his son so much, but he didn't discipline him. So he couldn't – you know, he thought he loved him, but he just couldn't bring it to, you know, cause Absalom any physical pain. What ended up happening? Absalom ended up dead. He had his huge long locks got caught in the tree branch, and he got decapitated. And David was very sad and sorrowful, even though that same son was the reason he was having all the problems in the first place. So yeah, like you said, it's a hard job to be a parent because it's a fine line to walk, right? You need to love your kids, and you do, but you need to remember that true love sometimes is discipline, and God shows us that too in our own personal lives. So yeah, hard. It's a hard, hard job to be a parent. It's something everyone says, "Oh, you know, I want to have kids," but don't think about, Am I willing to do the hard thing that God requires here of me?
Yeah, and that seems to be the problem in our culture today. The overemphasis on, sure, there are extreme examples of the one side that we had talked about, you know, abuse. And as a result of that, you kind of have this knee-jerk reaction to not doing any form of discipline at all. And that's viewed as a loving thing. But just like with David and Absalom, we see the result of this in our society today. The lack of any form of discipline has demonstrated the godless behavior that we see in children today. They have no respect for anyone who is in authority. And so there's this danger that we see in our world today as a result of not doing any form of discipline. Let's go back to, again, another positive example. I think of Deuteronomy chapter 6, where here's Moses at the end of his ministry with the people of the Old Testament. He's preparing to die. In the very beginning chapters of Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses speaks on behalf of the Lord, and here's he's addressing them from the Lord, and the Lord gives direction to parents as they now move forward. And he says, this is in Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning with verse 5, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart." And then he goes on, verse 6, "And these words which I command you today, they shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children." And look at the examples. "You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things that you did not fill." He says, "Then when you have eaten and are full, beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." There's such an emphasis on Christian education through the family, through the home in those verses. You know, as pastors, Ben, you and I, we can teach catechism to catechism students. But we don't have the opportunity with young people to teach them diligently, to talk of them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. To make it a part of our everyday lives, to point out the reality of what God reveals every day of our lives. That's our responsibility as parents. Talk about how important that is in our daily lives for parents to instruct and teach their children.
Well, I think kind of the Deuteronomy example there, it was very – I mean, it is great advice, and it also was practical too, because they didn't have the Bible. So how would their kids learn about the wonderful things that God did for them, you know, in Egypt, if the parents did not tell the children? But also it provides a good example for us as well, right? Because the same things that God, that through Moses, was instructing the children of Israel to do for their children, we're supposed to do that for our children as well. And it means taking an active role in their education and their Christian education. You know, it's nice if you have the opportunity for your children to go to a Christian school, but not all of us have that opportunity. You know, some of us have to go to public school, which is unfortunate because you don't hear, you know, the statutes of the Lord every day unless you make it a habit yourself, right? And that's the great thing about Christian education is you'll hear it every day from your teachers and your pastors, but even then – you need to, you know, be diligent about it with yourself to keep going back to it again and again. It helps that it's there. But and as a parent, then you need to follow up with your children and make sure that Christian education is not just something that goes on from the hours of, you know, 8 to 3, but later in the day at dinner time. You know, get together at dinner and talk about your day. What happened? Oh, okay. Have a devotion after that, you know. Have evening devotion before you go to bed. Say prayers together. These are all good things because they enforce the family doctrine of the Lord. And I think if it's – and like I said, this is hard to do. This takes an active role as a parent to be always asking about their day, asking about what went wrong, why did it go wrong, you know, to ask the hard questions and follow up every single day. But that's what we're supposed to do as parents. And we don't always have all the hours in the day. We can't always be the best parents because we're sinners too. But we need to strive to make sure that Christian education does not just take place outside the home, but is founded and is renewed inside the home as well.
It's been probably last year, we did a presentation here at our congregation on what's called the family altar. And another CLC pastor has presented on that. We have another podcast on the family altar that I would encourage people to take a look at. But we have a series of resources that would be available to parents as far as helping with family devotions. If any of you are interested in getting those resources, feel free to email us at burdenandblessing@gmail.com, and we can make sure that we get those resources, both devotional resources as well as just an outline for what a family devotion might look like depending on the age of your children. Those resources might be helpful for you in preparing your children and establishing that Christian parenting in your daily routine and homes. Any final thoughts, Ben, on this topic of Christian parenting or the applications or illustrations that we have in Scripture?
I think just the reason that we kind of got onto the subject, Nathaniel, is because we were reading through Samuel and there's so many bad examples, but it's good to take to look at the good examples as well. Like you said, sometimes it's hard to find, especially nowadays, good examples of Christian parents who do the right thing and, you know, actually train their children up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. But I think it really all goes back to our Father, you know, to God the Father and His Son Jesus. And when you found your family on faith and the love of God, then it makes parenting, you know, easier, because then it's not just, well, what are our decisions about how we want to raise up this kid, me and my wife? No, it's what's God's decision? What does God tell us to do? It's not, oh, well, we don't want to hurt our kids anyway. We don't want them to feel any pain for any second. It's no, God says, discipline your children, because that's true love. God does the same thing with us, but He also shows His ultimate love for us by having Jesus go to the cross and die for our sins. So I think, you know, we look to God definitely as an example for your parenting, but we're not God. We're not even close to being anywhere near righteous. But at the same time, you know, be active. Take an active role in your kids' education, and always if you don't know how to deal with something with your children, go to the Lord, go to your pastor, go to the Bible, and encourage them to do the same. It all, you know, things in this world are hard, but thankfully we have a book that was written for any situation, and there's no better parenting book to follow than God's holy word.
Yeah, there's a lot of good examples for us making carrying that out in our daily lives with our examples, making sure that not only church attendance and Bible class, Sunday school attendance is important. We're setting an example for our children there, mm-hmm. but we're also being strengthened and given the tools that we need in order to function better, surrounding us with godly examples in our lives that can help us become better in that goal of becoming good, godly Christian parents, leaders in our own homes. Many resources, as you mentioned, that are available in our individual congregations, speaking to our pastors, reading our Bibles, are going to be valuable in learning what God desires of us and for us as Christian parents. If you do have any other questions, feel free to reach out to us too here at Burden and Blessing. There are resources that we can direct you to. Thanks for taking the time to go through this with us, Ben, a very important topic, especially in our world today, where we struggle with these very things. So thanks for taking the time to go through this. We pray that it will be a blessing to those who are listening.
Thank you.
The Lord bless your week this week. We're glad to have you joining us again. If you have any other topics that you'd like to have us consider or discuss, feel free to email that to us as well at burdenandblessing@gmail.com. We pray that the Lord would give you wisdom and strength as in your role as Christian parents, and that He would direct your steps as He does our children as well.
We hope that you will join us next week for another episode of Burden and Blessing Podcast. Our goal is always to bring you the whole counsel of God. Until next time, go in the strength of the Lord and preach the word.